Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Everybody goes to work someplace, don't they? You can work in the home, I suppose, but if you step out of the home and go to a place of business, usually the order of the day is competition, making a profit, making sure that the product is on the shelves and of good quality, keeping the customer happy. Now, all of these things, in and of themselves, don't necessarily present a problem. However, if you've spent any time in the world of business or in the workplace, you might begin to believe that the loss of ethics and ethical standards are simply the cost of doing business. Is it just another occupational hazard that you cannot, as a Christian, live ethically in the workplace? Or is it possible to carry Christian ethics into the workplace in spite of the fact that much of what goes on in the business world involves compromise? We'll be talking about Christian ethics in the workplace during this hour of Issues Etc. We are coming to you live on this Sunday evening, June the 1st. If you'd like to join us with a question or a comment, if you have a situation at work that has placed before you an ethical dilemma that you find insoluble, you can feel free to give us a call, and if you want to, anonymously at 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. If you'd like to email us, we do have an in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org, issuesetc@kfuo.org. We have a roundtable discussion this evening. That means several guests here in Studio A and one joining us from Milwaukee on the phone. Raymond Hilgert is Professor Emeritus of the Olin School of Business at Washington University here in St. Louis. He joins us here in Studio A. Raymond, welcome to Issues Etc.
Nice to be here, Todd.
Jim Truesdell is President of Brower Supply Company based here in St. Louis. He is also President of the North American Heating, Refrigeration, and Air Conditioning Wholesalers Association. He joins us from Milwaukee. Jim, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you, Todd. It's good to be here.
And last but not least, Pastor Phil Lockes also joins us here in Studio A. He is formerly the editor of Portals of Prayer and also director of the Commission on Organizations for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. These three men who join us here in Studio A are the co-authors of our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June, titled Christian Ethics in the Workplace. Pastor Lockes, welcome to Issues Etc.
Well, thank you, Ted. Glad to be here.
Let's begin with the two quote-unquote businessmen in our roundtable. First of all, Jim, let's talk about some of the corporate scandals that have rocked the business world. The magnitude has been shocking. How did this happen? Is this just the way American business happens nowadays?
Well, you know, I think that it's been a problem that has always been there. But nowadays, the media brings these scandals to our attention. And as a result, everybody begins to feel that this is what's going on in our business world, and I'd better do this because if I'm going to compete successfully, everybody else is cutting corners, and I should too. And it becomes just like an epidemic where one leads to another. And I think as a result, indeed, there is a slippage in morality in the workplace. There is a tendency to cut corners. It grows maybe out of things that are happening in our schools, in our whole society, this competitiveness which takes us over to the point where we're willing to do anything to get ahead of the other guy. And I think it's something we need to address squarely.
I want to talk a little bit more about competition later in the conversation, because that's one of the places where the ethical dilemmas do often arise. Ray, your reaction to the corporate scandals in general?
Well, again, I agree with Jim there that in recent years, this past decade, for example, the magnitude of the scandals that have been reported have been just dreadful. And it's caused many, many people to feel that the whole business structure is sort of deteriorated, that everybody is on the take and you can't trust anybody. I think that's unfortunate because, in reality, the large majority of people in business do behave ethically. They have to, because it's a required part of doing business in our society. And unfortunately, when you have these huge kinds of scandals that we've read about so much, it gives a lot of people a feeling of distrust in the whole system. And I think that's really one of the real dangers of all of this.
How do you account for the magnitude of these scandals? Is it that the unethical practices took place on an operational level, talking about the highest levels of the management of these businesses that made them so overwhelming, so large, so impactful?
Yeah, I think the big ones that reflect the top management, the leadership, the boards, who weren't satisfied with a normal rate of return, but they used every opportunity to maximize whatever opportunity they saw, and in so doing, not only violated ethical principles, but in many cases violated the laws of the land.
Pastor Lacus, I do want to get from you a basic definition of ethics from Scripture, but before we do that, I want you to react to what is a popular teaching in Christian circles about ethics in the business place, and that is, if you do business God's way, then you are guaranteed a financial success. Maybe not 30% profits, but if you do business God's way, God will reward you with financial success of some degree or another. Do you agree with that? Is that borne out by Scripture?
Not at all. Not in the least. I think the problem is that anyone who would make such a declaration would have to deny the existence of evil in this world. In other words, if you go back and look at the Scriptures, quite the opposite is often the case because of evil's persecution of faithfulness to God. Psalm 73, for example, the psalmist is lamenting. He says, I've done everything right. All day long, I serve God, I do what's right. But what's happening? The wicked are prospering. They have the big, glorious funerals, he says. You know, everybody's lamenting their death. But me, nobody will mourn when I'm gone. What good does it do me? And then he says, until I went into the house of the Lord. And then I understood the difference.
Now, you have written this, and I'd like you to explain what it means. If ethics depend on human instincts, culture, tradition, intuition, logic, or evolution, mankind will continue to seek but never find a consistent, workable standard of ethics that applies to all society and exists for the benefit of all. What are you trying to say there?
That there are so many differences between people in what drives them, in their personalities and so on, that it would be impossible to come up with a system of ethics on the basis of just humanity. It just can't be done because people are so different. It's hard to say which questions should come first. In other words, there's what is truth? And the fact that many people believe many different things doesn't change the fact that there is only one truth. The earth is flat, some say. Round, others say. And no matter how many different things they say, the earth has only one shape.
So when it comes to ethics, what is the only reliable source for ethics, be it in the workplace or out of the workplace?
That starts with who we are. If we are children of God, created by Him, redeemed by the blood of His Son, there is only one standard, and that is the standard that God Himself has established in the moral law.
Is that a thing that can be set aside if the circumstances of business call for it? The moral law of God?
That would be changing truth, wouldn't it? Then we'd have two truths.
So someone says, this is business argument. He says, look, I know that you're a Christian and you are free to practice your Christian ethics every place else, but here, this is business, and we're going to live by the business model, the business way of doing things. With about a minute, how would you respond to that?
Well, I'd say, first of all, what is the business model? I know of businessmen who adhere as much as they are able, with God's help, to God's moral law. That's their business model. So you're talking about varying business models. And again, I come back to the statement, there's only one truth.
Pastor Phil Lacus is one of our guests here in this roundtable on Issues Etc. as we discuss Christian ethics in the workplace. Our other guest, Jim Truesdale, joining us from Milwaukee, and Raymond Hilgert here in Studio A. Feel free to join us as well. Our call-in number, 1-800 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. Our email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Now, if you want to call in or write us anonymously, given the sensitive nature of some of the situations that you might want to bring up as we talk about Christian ethics in the workplace, feel free to do that as well. 1-800-730-2727. Now, when we come back, we've already mentioned it. It's competition. I don't think business could exist, not in a healthy and thriving way, without competition. Competition is considered to be the lifeblood of good business. One business competes with another, and one employee competes with another. But this may cause the Christian pause at times because competition is not always healthy. And given the fact, as Pastor Locke has pointed out, that we are in a world where evil is a very stark reality, even in the business place, competition might turn ugly or even wrong. We'll find out how to live in a competitive business world and what it takes to live in a competitive business world and remain grounded ethically as a Christian. Our phone numbers, 1-800-730-2727. We're talking about Christian ethics in the workplace. Raymond Hilgert, Jim Truesdell, and Pastor Phil Lockes are our guests. 1-800-730-2727. When we come back, we'll talk about the unique temptations that face people in a competitive workplace.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
If you enjoy listening to Issues, Etc. on the weekends, did you know that you can listen to 12 new hours of Issues, Etc. each week on the Internet? All you have to do is go to our website, issuesetc.org, click the worldwide KFUO logo, and there you can listen to Issues, Etc. 24/7, including 12 new programs weekly. The website address again, issuesetc.org.
Issues, Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. However, we are not funded by the church body. We're also not affiliated with Lutheran Hour Ministries or the Lutheran Layman's League. Issues, Etc. is supported by listeners like you. Please help support this worldwide outreach by making a gift this week. Our address, Issues, Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Thanks for your prayerful consideration. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about Christian ethics in the workplace during this hour. You know, the workplace is one of the places where if you are not straight on the Christian worldview, you will certainly find yourself at a disadvantage, not business-wise, but as a Christian, because there are all sorts of worldviews that compete with the Christian worldview, and many of them are found in the workplace. Not only that, but as you sit around the water cooler, or I guess they don't have water coolers so much anymore, but the copy machine or the coffee machine, you might find people there in the workplace who do not share a biblical worldview. That is why it is in the interest of every Christian not only to know what the biblical worldview is, centered on God's redeeming work in Jesus Christ for us sinners in a fallen world, but also to know those other worldviews, be acquainted with them, and know how to respond, yes, even in the workplace. Now, there's a great opportunity for you to learn about the Christian worldview. It's a confessional Christian worldview seminar, June the 20th through the 27th at the Schwann Center in northern Wisconsin. We, Issues Etc., will be broadcasting live there with regular guest Craig Parton, Rolf Preuss, Angus Manouge, and George Mather. Now, if you can't stay the whole week from June 20th through the 27th up there in Trago, don't worry about it. There are all kinds of flexible packages available if you can only stay a day or two. A confessional Christian worldview seminar is for Christians of all ages, especially young adults, pastors, parents, teachers, what have you. So call the Schwann Center tomorrow during regular business hours at 1-800-577-4848. That's 1-800-577-4848, or check out the details on this seminar at our website, issuesetc.org. A confessional Christian worldview seminar, June the 20th through the 27th, is at the Schwann Center in Trago, Wisconsin, about 2 hours north of Minneapolis. Now, Folks listening up there in the Twin Cities, this shouldn't be difficult for you. Those listening in Wisconsin or Chicago, the same goes for you. Get the family together. Join us later this month, June the 20th through the 27th in Trago, Wisconsin, for a Confessional Christian Worldview Seminar. For more information, our website, issuesetc.org, or call the Schwann Center, 1-800-577-4848. Pastor Lacus, is God a capitalist? Does God's word teach that the economic system that he prefers and indeed mandates is capitalism?
I have never discovered anything that points that direction. Was capitalism established in the Old Testament in Israel? That was a theocracy, quite different from what capitalism is for us today. The Christians in the New Testament were urged to live under whatever government they found themselves. So I would say no, God does not favor capitalism.
I guess the question on the other side of the coin is capitalism, is it forbidden in any sense? The motives behind it, all those kind of things by God in Scripture.
I don't believe so at all. There are certain evils that are associated with capitalism that are associated with other forms of government just as well.
Todd, this is Jim. If I might, I think when you look at the whole situation, God has given us talents and abilities. We are gifted with this from God, and they're not just given to us so that we can put them in a closet and not deal with them. He gives us whatever talents and abilities we have so that we can use them to our fullest as a means of expressing our thanks to God and praising him. Now, capitalism by its very nature, there's competitiveness involved in it. But if we as Christians approach this competition as a way of utilizing the gifts God has given us to its fullest extent, not with the idea of necessarily crushing the other guy or driving everybody out of business, but recognizing that that other person has been given gifts by God and charged with also utilizing them to their fullest, then there's certainly nothing wrong with the competition that's inherent in capitalism. And I think that very consistent with our economic system and Christians using the gifts that God has given them.
Where is the line, Ray, on this whole issue of capitalism that Jim has reintroduced, and in particular, competition, where it goes from being, as he said, a way that we can still benefit our neighbor to one where we are trying to crush him and put him out of business?
Yeah, well, capitalism, or a free enterprise type of an arrangement, has been around a long time. It probably dates back to the days of Adam Smith, an 18th century philosopher and economist, who argued very forcefully that when people seek their own self-interest, if they do it in a way which is not harmful to the interest of other people, that this tends to bring out the best in people. And basically he said that people seeking their own self-interest would bring about the greatest good for everybody. Where it gets messed up is when people lose sight of this thing about the rights and interest of others, and they run roughshod over the rights and interest of others. And competition in that way can be very, very destructive, because some people lose sight of the fact that in any transaction there are normally many interested parties, and where the one that has the most power seeks to enhance his or her own self-interest to the exclusion of others, that, of course, is where competition is destructive rather than constructive.
Pastor Lacus, the term self-interest does tend to raise a flag with me, because I have always understood sin at its heart to be unbridled self-interest. Is there a way that you can say, all right, self-interest when it comes to the me simply seeking my self-interest is sinful, but when I'm in the business world, then self-interest can be channeled in an ethical way? Would you allow for something like that? About a minute here to respond.
Well, again, we're back to this question of what is truth. I believe, and I think Scripture teaches, that our responsibility, our first responsibility, is directly to God. and that will govern our use of our self-interest, whether it's private or in business. It must be the same.
Folks, we're talking about Christian ethics in the workplace, and in the course of this conversation, I would encourage you to call in, even if you would like to do so anonymously, at 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. Jim, one more question for you with only about 30 seconds before we go to the break. You have been operating as a businessman in a practical sense, and I'd like to talk about, when we come back from the break, some of the actual situations that arise in the business world when it comes to ethics. Has it been your experience that, talking about self-interest, that self-interest can be used in a way, obviously everything we do is tainted with sin, but can be used in a way in the business world that does not necessarily seek the harm of our neighbor?
Well, certainly I think so. I think we still need to have everything in our business lives. If we're going to be living our Christian beliefs, which the Bible directs us to do, it still needs to be based on the golden rule. I still think we utilize our gifts, as I said, to the fullest, but we do need to take into consideration the good of the group as a whole, the good of other people, and part of the good of the group is everybody utilizing those gifts to their fullest. Competition will produce good things for consumers. It will provide jobs for employees. It will provide profits for business, which are the nutriment of our economy to keep things going. So there can be a great deal of consistency, again, in competition to the fullest. But still, I think we have to keep into consideration that we don't just exist for our own self-interest, that we are competing also to do good. We want to seek something a little higher in our life than just self-interest. We want to reach out for the common good of our society and for our fellow persons.
Next week on Issues Etc., folks, we're going to discuss Islam with Ron Rhodes. I want you to stay tuned next week for that, because Ron Rhodes from Reasoning from the Scriptures will be answering some of these questions, like, do Christians and Muslims worship the same God? What are the similarities and the differences between the Bible and the Quran? How does a Shiite Muslim differ from a Sunni Muslim? We'll talk about all of that next week on Issues Etc. with Ron Rhodes. Now, if you'd like to know what we'll be discussing for the rest of June here on Issues Etc., check out our website at issuesetc.org. And while you're there, be sure to read an article by Jim Truesdell called Right and Wrong in the Workplace. We'll be right back. Some of the most common ethical dilemmas that confront Christians today are found in the workplace. Do we operate by one set of ethics as Christians and another set in the business world? As you face workplace problems, where do you go to look for guidance? Answers to these questions and more are found in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June, Christian Ethics in the Workplace, by Raymond Hilgert, Phil Lockus, and James Truesdell. You can order Christian Ethics in the Workplace by calling Concordia Publishing House weekdays during regular business hours at 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or order the book online at issuesetc.org. Click on the What's New section and you'll find information on this book. It's the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June, Christian Ethics in the Workplace, 1-800-325-3040.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues Etc.
I'm Todd Wilkin. We're joined by Craig Parton. Craig will be one of the speakers at a Confessional Christian Worldview Seminar coming up on June 20th through the 27th at the Marvin M. Schwann Retreat and Conference Center in Trago, Wisconsin. Craig, tell us about one of your lectures titled The Grandeur and Misery of American Evangelicalism.
The subject is going to cover issues related to the interplay between Lutheranism and American evangelicalism. And we will be looking at the theology of American evangelicalism, where it comes from. We'll be looking at the grandeur of it, that which we can learn from, the things in American evangelicalism that have a lot to offer, that are positive, that those from the Reformation perspective can learn from. So for both evangelicals and those from the Reformation who may attend, that particular presentation will, I think, look particularly at the historical issues and things that we can learn from, but also what have come to be some of the weaknesses and dangers even in American evangelical theology. And interestingly enough, why is it the Reformation churches have succeeded largely in taking the weaknesses of American evangelicalism and passing over what those strengths might be? We'll look at what that attractiveness has been to American Lutheranism in the Reformation, why they've been attracted to American evangelicalism, and what the dangers of that have been, and kind of cut through a path to try and see what the Reformation can learn and what it can avoid.
That's Greg Parton, one of the speakers at a Confessional Christian Worldview Seminar, June the 20th through the 27th, at the beautiful Marvin M. Schwann Retreat and Conference Center in Trago, Wisconsin, about 2 hours from Minneapolis. Now, for more information, call the Schwann Center at 1-800-577-4848. That's 1-800-577-4848. Or go to our website at issuesetc.org. Under the What's New section, you'll find information on a Confessional Christian Worldview Seminar, June 20th through the 27th in Trago, Wisconsin. For more information, that number again, 1-800-577-4848. The cost of the seminar is $229, including 19 meals and 7 nights lodging. If you'd like more information on a Confessional Christian Worldview Seminar, June 20th through the 27th in Trago, Wisconsin, call 1-800-577-4848, 1-800-577-4848, or visit our Issues Etc. website at issuesetc.org. Under the What's New section, you'll find information on the seminar. Folks, you know, Father's Day is coming up June the 15th. It's almost upon us, and you're wondering, well, not another tie this year for Dad. Dad does spend a lot of time at work, and maybe, unbeknownst to you, your father or your husband has struggled privately with the very kind of situations we're going to be talking about here in just a minute in his workplace. Maybe he's got an employer that takes credit for his work. Maybe he finds himself covering for the ethical lapses of others, or maybe he is struggling with guilt himself over unethical things that he has found himself either forced to do or slipped into doing or doing of his own will in the workplace. A great resource for your dad or your husband on this Father's Day is our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June called Christian Ethics in the Workplace. You can receive your copy by calling Concordia Publishing House weekdays during regular business hours at 1-800-325-3040. Now, the book costs $14.99 plus shipping and handling. 1-800-325-3040. Or you can also order the book online tonight. Go to our website, issuesetc.org. Under the What's New section, you'll find information on the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June, Christian Ethics in the Workplace. When you call or write, make sure to mention the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June. 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. Pastor Lacus, we have been kind of dancing around a particular subject, a teaching from Scripture that Luther made a lot of hay with in the Reformation called the teaching of vocation. Does someone who's listening to us as a Christian business person, they say, look, you pastors or you teachers or whoever else works in the church, you folks have got the vocation from God. I've got a job. Is that what Scripture teaches?
Well, I think the key is in the word vocation itself, which is a calling. And we are called by God to do many different things. I firmly believe God places us where we are in this world at the time we exist to serve Him and to serve our fellow man. There's nowhere in Scripture are vocations separated from jobs. And all of them are mentioned. I mean, the soldiers were approved of by John the Baptist in speaking. We have agriculturalists, hunters, ranchers, and so on, metal workers, every kind of manufacturer in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, and these musicians. All of these are blessed by God as opportunities to serve Him and our fellow man. I don't see how you could separate vocations into different values.
Todd, I see. And if we look at the Bible in Colossians 3:17, it says, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father, through him. It doesn't say whatever you do except in your workplace. It doesn't say only if you're a pastor or a church worker. It says whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. And certainly, before Luther's time, I suppose people tended to look at the clerical people and the monks and the priests and think that they were supposed to live a holy life and everybody else was out in the muck and the mire of the world. But Luther clearly told us that whatever you do and wherever you're situated, you can praise God through what you're doing. You've been placed in that position. And so it's open to everybody, which gives us a wonderful way of approaching our work. We can feel confident that we're doing God's work, whatever we're doing, and it gives us some motivation if we're caught up in a workplace culture that is inconsistent with Christian beliefs, that we can do whatever we can to be a witness to Christ in the workplace and to do, even if it's in a small way, to begin to move that culture in a way that will be consistent with our beliefs, certainly the Judeo-Christian ethics, which I think underlie most of our concepts of right and wrong in the workplace. Wherever we're situated,
Jim,
we can take some steps towards that.
Jim, I would like to get your reaction also to something that I'm going to hand first to Ray, if I could. Ray, a hypothetical. I am an employee at a business, and my employer has been taking credit for my work. I've been working my tail off, and whenever I do, he's the one who goes into the meeting and presents it as his own work. He's the one who gets the recognition. And I've been covering for this guy because he hasn't been doing the kind of work he ought to do. What do I do?
Well, that kind of situation is very common. And an individual has a number of choices. One of the choices, of course, is just patience and being quiet about it and accepting it. You might talk to the individual, explain your concerns. That has some risk, especially if the individual is taking the credit as your boss and he becomes very irate about that and basically says, well, he's free to do anything he wants to. If it gets too bad, there's always the alternative of leaving the employment.
Jim, your reaction to the same hypothetical situation?
Well, certainly if it is your boss who is presenting this work as his own, that, to a certain extent, that's part of the system of business, and in theory, the boss should be helping his subordinate who is effectively doing the work and who is providing him the resources to get the job accomplished. The boss should be seeing that that person thus grows in the workplace, is promoted, is given more responsibility, and gets raises in compensation. So that's part of the system. Where, however, the boss bottles that person up, where the credit is not shared, where there's no opportunity for growth for that other person, I think that at a certain point, the person who's doing the work is perfectly within his or her rights to confront that person with their concern about this and see if you can put this issue right out in front and let that person respond. And there may come a point, if you're bottled up here, where it may not be the best work situation, and you may have to consider whether it's in your interest to stay there. But the work system itself, normally the boss should be seeing that those who produce and those who are doing work effectively that help the boss get things accomplished, he needs to ensure that those subordinates are moving along in their career and getting recognition through raises or compensation reflecting that. That is part of the business system. You do things to make your boss look good. That's the way it is.
Folks, maybe you have an ethical dilemma that you have encountered in the workplace as well. Feel free to give us a call, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. We also have that in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Jim, right back to you with another hypothetical. This one seems a little more cut and dried, but it's rather complex. An employee discovers that a fellow employee is misappropriating funds. And the twist on this is, if this employee who has discovered the wrongdoing turns his fellow employee in, not only would that fellow employee lose his job, but maybe some other people are going to lose their jobs too. And to be quite frank, quite honest, maybe even the employee who's discovered the wrongdoing will lose his or her job. Where does a person like that go? What do they do?
Well, unfortunately, or fortunately, we are all charged with the duty of being stewards of the assets of the business. When we take the job, when we take the position of responsibility, we have an obligation to preserve the assets of the business, to help it grow. And when we become aware of something that works counter to that, be it the actions of another employee, we have an obligation to remedy this. Now, I would say first thing I would do if you see somebody there is confront that employee and say, you need to correct this right away and resolve this situation. If you don't, then I feel I will need to do this. And now, it may mean that other people might lose their jobs, that a department might be shut down or something like that, but is that not ultimately better than something to continue based on a lie? That's not good for all the people involved there, and it's certainly not good for us as Christian people to ignore our duty to preserve the assets of that business and to stay quiet while this is going on. I don't think we can continue to live that way in our workplace.
Ray, do you have something to add to that?
To the hypothetical?
Yes.
Well, I was just going to add something earlier, and maybe it'll fit in. On the Sermon on the Mount, Christ kind of put the standard to us that we are supposed to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world, and so that all of our actions are to reflect that kind of behavior. It seems to me that in the hypothetical you suggested, the defrauding of the corporate assets is something that the individual does have an obligation to deal with. And it would just seem to me that would be the first guidance that he would have to make sure it was stopped in some way by reporting it to the proper authorities. If he's uncomfortable, sometimes it can be done by reporting the problem anonymously if there is a fear. Some companies actually have what's known as a corporate ombudsman, where an individual can go to report incidents of that nature, and that helps to get the matter solved without the individual being considered to be a whistleblower or something of that nature.
Quickly, before we go to our break, let's see if we can fit a phone call in here. 1-800-730-2727. 1-800-730-2727. Up first, Jim calling from Lincoln, Nebraska, listening on KLCV. Jim, welcome to Issues Etc. Just 1 minute before our break.
Hi, I just wanted to let you know that I work for an agency that represents developmentally disabled people. When I found that my boss was misusing the Social Security funds and that they were charging the state taxpayers for vocational hours and not providing vocational guidance, when I reported it internally, it caused such an uproar that I got fired. And I haven't felt guilty a day since I've been fired, because the people that I was working for were so corrupt and dishonest. God gave me a clear sense of what I was supposed to do. I did it, and ever since then, the evil one has been on the prowl, but, you know, I have nothing to fear.
Jim, thank you very much for the call. We'll get our roundtable's reaction to Jim's actions and the fact that he says, look, I don't feel guilty a day for leaving a corrupt business. If you'd like to join us, our phone number is 1-800-730-2727. And if you're getting a busy signal, keep on trying, because we'll be freeing up some phone lines. Would you like to receive a free tape of this hour and the next hour's internet-only broadcast on Christian ethics in the workplace? Well, there's only one way to do it, but all you have to do is contact the local Lutheran church that sponsors Issues Etc. in your area, and they'll send you a free cassette recording of both hours. Get a pen and a piece of paper ready, because you should hear an announcement with a phone number and a mailing address for that sponsor during this break, and if you miss it then, right after the Issues Etc. close theme. Get your pen and piece of paper out. Get ready to write down the phone number and the mailing address for your local church sponsor. When you call or write them for that free tape, be sure to thank them for sponsoring Issues Etc. in your area. Raymond Hilgert is our guest, along with Jim Truesdell, joining us from Milwaukee by telephone, and Pastor Phil Lacus. We're talking about Christian ethics in the workplace. We'll be right back.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Are you looking for a vacation this summer where you can relax, renew, and refocus? Well, I have just the opportunity for you. It's a Confessional Christian Worldview Seminar, June the 20th through the 27th at the Marvin M. Schwann Retreat and Conference Center in Trago, Wisconsin. It's about 2 hours from Minneapolis. Not only will you have the chance to relax in the beauty and serenity of the picturesque Namekagon River, two private lakes, miles of hiking trails, and abundant wildlife, but you'll also have the opportunity to refocus and renew by listening to instruction from Issues Etc. regular guests Craig Parton, George Mather, Angus Manouge, and Rolf Preuss. For more information, go to our website, issuesetc.org, or call the Schwann Center at 1-800-577-4848. Ask for information on a Confessional Christian Worldview Seminar, June 20th through the 27th in northern Wisconsin, 1-800-577-4848. Folks, we've been talking this hour about Christian ethics in the workplace. Now, let me tell you about a little workplace situation here at Issues Etc. I'm not telling any stories out of school when I say that Issues Etc. is entirely listener-supported. We are a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, but we are not funded in any way by the church body, and we're also not affiliated with Lutheran Hour Ministries or the Lutheran Layman's League. I told you before the break about our local church sponsors. They do the lion's share of funding for Issues Etc., along with you, our regular listeners. Now, if you enjoy Issues Etc., which is talk radio for the thinking Christian, we need to hear from you this week with some financial support, especially those of you listening to us in Northern California on KFAX. We've been talking about this a couple weeks now. We will be making a decision later this week on whether or not to continue broadcasting Issues Etc. on KFAX for the rest of this year. So please consider making a financial gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate by credit card by calling our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172, or you can make your gift by check and mail it to Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. That's Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Let's go around the horn, if we could, beginning with Jim Truesdell, one of our guests here, as we talk about Christian ethics in the workplace, and get a response to Jim from Lincoln's call. He said he discovered that there was misuse of funds, misreporting of how funds were used, and he quit and has not felt guilty a day. Your response, Jim?
Well, you know, I think that's important what he said, that he has not felt guilty a day. Had he just kept quiet about this, I think he would be considerably more unsettled. He would be operating inconsistently with his beliefs. You know, God does not necessarily promise us earthly success for making ethical choices. He does not necessarily promise us that we're going to get every raise, that we're going to get every promotion, that every deal is going to go our way. We need to indeed understand that we are acting ethically as a means of praising our Lord and expressing our faith, not necessarily because something good is going to happen to us. And I think Jim certainly, while he doesn't have the job here, he is at peace with himself, and he's able to feel good about what's happened. So I think he's following the right course, and I think we need to use that kind of behavior as an example of how we deal with these issues.
Very briefly, Pastor Lacus, your reaction to Jim from Lincoln. He got fired, and he says, I'm at peace with this situation.
I'd say beautiful. One of the old-time preachers preached a sermon on the endless line of splendor that has come down through the ages of Christians who act on their commitments to God's word. And whether Jim would admit it or not, or say it of himself, I believe he is in the endless line of splendor and has in his heart that which really counts, the peace of God, which passes all human understanding.
And finally, Ray, your reaction. You've taught business for a long time. Would you ever advise a student prospectively going on into the business world to take the path that Jim and Lincoln took?
Absolutely. There's a wonderful Bible admonition, all things work together for good to those who love God. And it just seems to me that the individual here made the choice that was consistent with his faith. And even though it cost him in the short run his job, he has found that in the long run he's much more satisfied not only in terms of his own personal situation, but his faith has been reinforced as a result of it.
Time is dwindling, but I think we have time to take one more phone call and wrap up our hour as we talk about Christian ethics in the workplace. Bill is calling from Tulsa, Oklahoma, listening on KQCV. Bill, thank you for being patient and welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you.
What's your situation, Bill?
Well, my situation is I have a supervisor at work, and I do 110% for him, and still yet he continues to lower my position into doing more dirtier work or harder work, and it doesn't seem like no matter what I do that he's satisfied with what I do.
Bill, thank you very much for the call. This is not an uncommon situation. Ray, would you take up the response to Bill's call there?
Well, again, it's not too different from the previous caller. It's a situation where the individual is feeling very, very underappreciated, that he's actually feels like he's being dumped on. And the first thing, of course, would be to talk to the supervisor. If that doesn't work, sometimes there's an opportunity to talk to somebody in the Director of Human Resources, for example. Sometimes it's even advisable to go around the supervisor. Again, there are risks to that, to report it to someone higher, to explain the situation. Go with a catalog of specific instances to show and demonstrate exactly what's going on, not just a general area of complaints. Again, if the situation is so severe that he can't stand it, then I think there's always the recourse to seeking other employment.
Jim, you are an employer yourself. How would you respond to the caller there from Tulsa?
Well, you know, I think the idea of living Christian principles in the workplace does not mean that we should shrink from asserting ourselves. And if we are in a difficult situation, there's certainly nothing wrong with speaking up. As Ray said, directly confront the supervisor first. But if the situation is not getting any better, you do go up to the next level and speak up for yourself. I don't think the fact that we look out for the interests of other people in the workplace and that we wish others well doesn't mean that we should let ourselves be stepped on. There's nothing wrong with being assertive and standing up for what's right here. In some sense, you might be helping this person who's oppressing you. Some people just get into the habit of oppressing subordinate employees, and until somebody calls them on it, they don't end that kind of behavior, and it's better for them that they be confronted and that possibly there's an opportunity that they can change their ways.
Pastor Lacus, the last question goes to you during this hour, and that has to do with what is the cycle of unethical, sometimes unethical practices breed unethical practices. The boss sets the example, the employees follow the example. I see my fellow employee doing something unethical. In order to keep up with him in the business, in the dog-eat-dog world, I adopt the same methods myself. How, from a pastor's perspective, is the cycle of unethical practices in the business place broken?
Well, one of the things is we're human beings and we're great at making excuses, putting the blame on somebody else if at all possible. And I wonder if that doesn't simply become an excuse and nothing more than that. That we follow unethical practices because somebody else does in the workplace. And it doesn't make that which is wrong right.
It's pretty simple advice. Pastor Lacus, thank you very much for being our guest on Issues Etc. Ray Hilgert, thank you also for being our guest as well. And Jim Truesdell, joining us from Milwaukee, thank you for being our guest on Issues Etc. Pastor Phil Lacus formerly served as the editor for Portals of Prayer and the director of commissions on organizations for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Jim Truesdell is president of the Brower Supply Company based in St. Louis and is also president of the North American Heating, Refrigeration, and Air Conditioning Wholesalers Association. And finally, Ray Hilgert is professor emeritus of the Olin School of Business at Washington University here in St. Louis. Folks, we will be continuing our discussion on Christian ethics in the workplace live in the next hour on the Internet. You can't hear it on the radio. You can only hear it on the Internet by going to our website, issuesetc.org. Then click on the worldwide KFUO logo that is very prominently displayed there, and you can listen. Issuesetc.org. We'll also be taking your phone calls in the next hour at 1-800-730-2727. We will let you stay on the line to hear the response to your question or your comment. 1-800-730-2727. Now, the best callers in the next hour will receive a free copy of our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June called Christian Ethics in the Workplace. Our roundtable comprised the three men who have co-authored this book. 1-800-730-2727. We are coming to you live this Sunday evening, June the 1st. Write this number down. Give us a call in the next hour. And if you feel the need to do so anonymously. 1-800-730-2727. We have that in-studio email address as well, issuesetc@kfuo.org. 1-800-730-2727. You know, Ray mentioned a passage there that has been rolling around in my head the entire hour. Because sometimes when you act ethically in the workplace, it won't make for good business. It might get you fired. Or it might cause you some real consternation. You might not get that promotion you were hoping for or advance as quickly. People might consider you naive or even a bad businessman or a businesswoman. Ray mentioned that passage. All things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to His purpose. You know, you can't always figure out what your employer is up to. And you can't always figure out why they're doing what they're doing at work. But you do know God's purpose for you in Jesus Christ. And there's a promise therein that because Jesus Christ has hung dying on a cross for you, bearing your sins, all the unethical practices of everyone who has ever lived, that God's purpose for you is good. You know, you might lose your job. Jesus says, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his soul? Jesus has secured your soul and your body for all eternity by his sacrifice. That's good news. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen to Pastor Todd Wilkin weekly on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for Issues Etc. to continue. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Or you can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172. 1-800-737-0172. Visit us this week on the World Wide Web. Our website address, issuesetc.org. Issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.